Hey everyone, it is I, Jeff, live from Antarctica. Can you believe it? I know, I can't believe it either. I can't believe we are managing to record this podcast for you when I'm miles and miles away from a landmass that's inhabited. But here we are. We do everything we can for our fans. And with me is a man who always makes love on a real train, Mr. Alita Bibnajad.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, yes. And this is me coming from Atlanta to you. Jeff's voice is on a delay, so I can't... there's going to be a delay on this podcast because he's in Antarctica, right?
That's a really fun thing for people to listen to. Yeah, let's make sure to leave this delay in there.
Yes, that's really funny, Jeff. What did you say? Oh, no, you're commenting on the... Okay.
Oh, my God, okay. No, I'm not really in Antarctica, but maybe this is being released when I am in Antarctica because this is one of our evergreens. It's kind of monumental because we haven't recorded an evergreen for months and months and months and months.
Monumental.
Yes.
Like fans have been writing to us like we can't like track how many whatchamacallums you have.
Whatchamacallums? Evergreens. Okay. Right. That's the thing we've already talked about several times. Okay. That's the whatchamacallum. Got it.
Right. And... we just, they really, like when we told them we don't have any evergreens, they were just worried and fretting and asking us to write them when we do one. So,
I remember my last text exchange when I told them there was no evergreens left. All I got was that emoji face with the big wide eyes. Like, what?
Right.
Really? Uh-oh. You better get on those.
So, yeah, Monumental is right. There's... all kinds of expectations and undue pressure on us to do good.
Well, there's less with an evergreen something. Because no one knows when we're recording this. Right. They could be released after our deaths, technically. So, yeah, we just kind of have to, put
every... Whoa, who's going to put it out after our death?
Sign it,
that in our will.
Yeah, that we do release everything and we don't release everything. Which one do you want? this could be our living will, actually. I think this is legal.
Yes, okay. So I want my student loans to go to Jeff.
Okay. that will not work. fuck you, man. Your student loans automatically go away if you die, I'm pretty sure. So don't send them to me. the bank needs their money.
Right. I made a promise.
Can have a bank not getting money. That's no good. So if you had a preference, would everything get released or nothing is released? Do we just pull everything from the podcast? Like, do we dox?
Why would we do that? Like
erasing you as much off of the internet? Sorry, guys. One of us died, so you can't listen to us anymore.
Yeah, like our family would have had something to remember us by, but no. Jeff decided.
I'm not saying I decided. I'm asking your living will preferences. That's what this legal document we're recording is all about.
Yeah, but why would you even think of that option?
I don't know. I thought that's what you wanted, man. I had a frustrating day today.
Yeah, what happened to you?
It was just one of those days where I woke up, so I had a terrible headache, as I usually do.
Oh.
And then...
As I usually do? Jeez. Do you usually wake up with headaches?
I have a headache almost every second of my life, and I have had it for years.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like a COVID remnant, but I can't figure out how to get it fixed. So that was frustrating. And then I was downstairs making my coffee and doing... Do you have an ambulance that comes, like, has on a schedule? I've just noticed that over and over again. Whenever we're recording, I hear an ambulance or a police siren in the background, and it always seems to happen at right around the same time. Is this... Are you in the Truman Show?
Possibly. Like, now that you mention it, I think I'm going to notice it more, but it's a very much the same sort of sound. It goes away after just a little bit.
And it's the same time, I swear. It's like about 20 minutes or so after we start recording. Weird. Okay. And it just started happening. It hasn't been happening the full time, but I've noticed it like the last three or four recordings.
Huh. Okay. And I should go back and check.
Yeah, it's very, very fascinating. But yeah, so I was downstairs making my coffee and everything, and then usually Nico comes down right before 8, and we kind of walk to the bus, and so I noticed at 7:50, I hadn't heard her like up and like doing anything, so I went to go see what was happening. She was still in bed, and her phone, which usually is charging all night, was just completely dead, and then we couldn't get to start. And so all morning long was trying to like figure out how to get the phone to start, figure out what happened to it. No idea. I brought it into his shop to a local guy, and he just he got her phone turned on, and it was like 20 seconds he got to turn back on.
I don't know. Things breaking usually end up, meaning new stuff, so that's good.
Oh, yes. I forgot who I'm talking to. Yes. A man who, when things break, he just thinks another thing falls. You have like a monkey's paw in your pocket. Except for it's only for good things. Like the monkey's paw, the whole twist on that tale is that every wish will be turned and made into a bad thing. But somehow for you, it always, every bad thing becomes a good thing.
Ah, right. That becomes a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Until it won't someday. And then you'll be devastated.
Jeez. And you'll be devastated.
Well, it's a lot harder to manage a terrible thing when you're not thinking about it constantly, because I'm just always thinking about the terrible things before they happen. So when they do happen, I'm like, well, I guess I've done the rehearsal a few thousand times. Anyway, we haven't even talked once about the fact that we're a movie podcast, so I guess we should probably throw that out there. And the movie we watched this week is Risky Business, which is not Tom Cruise's debut, but one, I mean, kind of his debut for people as far as, you know, the world's actually concerned. I can't really think of a movie before this, and this is really what kind of shot him into a star.
Shot him into a star?
Yeah, you don't know that? So Tom Cruise was put into a cannon shortly after this movie and shot into the star. So, yes.
Right, when that's how you become a Hollywood person.
Yeah, that's what you would call a breakout.
Right, they put you in a cannon, a literal cannon.
Yeah, a literal cannon.
Okay, I sort of suspected it would be a first of some kind because he appears to be so young.
I know, it's weird, right?
To look different. Yeah, it's definitely weird.
He does look different. Yeah, Nico was watching this with me, and she kept on saying, like, ugh, he looks weird.
Yeah. I mean, he seems to have a wannabe unibrow, which he, I think, still has, but...
A wannabe unibrow? What do you mean by that?
Like, only one of his eyebrows kind of wants to join the other one.
Huh. Yeah, I'd say for a movie star, he does have like kind of a less symmetrical face than most do.
Yeah. And how old is he in this?
21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is that a surprise?
Is he somebody's son or brother or?
Oh, you mean like, is he like some kind of Hollywood dude?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, I think Tom Cruise is kind of his own thing. I'm not quite sure how he got to start, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, his dad was an electrical engineer.
Oh.
And his mom was a special education teacher.
Oh.
So, I mean, I guess before we actually talk about what the movie is, like, what... Did you know anything about this movie before you watched it?
No.
Did any scenes seem familiar, something that you've seen referenced before, that you even, like, see before?
Yes, the old-time rock and roll scene.
Yeah. Scene.
Yeah. Okay. Because, I feel like I'd seen that in, you know, when they do, like, trailers of the kinds of movies you can watch someplace or what have you.
Oh.
I feel like I'd seen that in one of those. And you're alleging that it's been, like... replicated in other movies or something?
It's not alleging. It's a very, very commonly parodied scene.
Really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I like, there's a, I can think about one offhand, that's The Simpsons. So Homer's all alone, and then he comes out doing that, but then he sings, it's, you know, like a stupid little song. But then there are a ton of other areas where, yeah, a ton of other places where this has been parodied. Where? How? Why? When? I don't have that information in front of me. I really should have, but I do not.
Okay. But you allege that there's tons of other
scenes. There's no alleging. Okay, fine. We'll waste time and I'll look them all up.
Okay, like what else though? Like, you give me one other example or two other examples.
Hold on. So, guess what the original title for this movie was?
Dirty Business.
No.
Not necessarily safe endeavors.
Yeah, pretty much exactly. It's White Boys Off the Lake.
White Boys Off a Lake?
White Boys Off the Lake.
Huh.
Okay.
Is that a Chicago reference?
Yeah, well, Lake Michigan, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, so I found a few examples here. So Ronald Reagan Jr. apparently hosted Saturday Night Live in 1986, and he did that with a cold open when he's all alone in the White House.
Okay.
Yep. And then there's...
That's cool.
You know the show Scrubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess they did that at one point in time. And then Ben Stiller did it at the 2000 MTV Movie Awards. Yeah, so that's just a few to get started.
Well, I wasn't talking about that scene. I thought you said like there's other stuff that's
in the
movie.
No, that's... Well, yeah, there's also a scene where Homer has sex with a woman on the train to Phil Collins. So that happens to The Simpsons.
Okay. But you were talking about that one scene.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay.
I'm sure there are other things that are... I mean, I wonder, is there other movies or things that make fun of a... Well, I mean, I would say that just in general in pop culture, if a kid's being left at home alone, parents might say, like, hey, don't get up to no risky business type things.
Oh. Okay.
Which is funny. They might say that. Oh, my God.
I got to start believing you. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Which is funny because, you have not heard that before. And if you have, you forgot it and put it in the part of your brain that, I don't know.
That nothing sticks to, right?
Yeah, which is most of it, I think.
Yeah. I got this notion that maybe I'm autistic.
Huh.
And I thought you would wholeheartedly agree.
I'm not going to wholeheartedly agree. Why would I wholeheartedly agree?
Why wouldn't you?
Mm.
I mean, you always say I forget things.
Is that part of... Wait, is that like a... What?
I don't know.
That has nothing to do with autism, does it? Jesus Christ.
Not remembering faces, maybe. That's
called face
thing.
Blindness. I don't know if that's part of autism or not.
And you just think I'm generally weird and say it all the time on this show.
I don't think you're generally weird. You are generally weird. and you say it on the show mostly. No, mostly I say you don't remember anything. That has nothing to do with autism.
I mean,
is this a sincere thing, or are you trying to make a joke here?
No, it is a serious thing, and I took a test, and an online quiz thing, and it said it's slightly above average, the things you deal with that have to do with autism.
So is slightly above average mean like slightly more autistic than average?
Yes.
Got it. Huh, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess autism is a spectrum, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't surprised by slightly above average. I would have been surprised by, like, slightly below average. I would have been like, what does that mean?
I mean, so to be serious, though, I was, when I think about autism, I think about that as, like, someone that has a hard time relating to other folks, relating to other people's emotions and things like that. Oh.
Yeah,
hold on here.
See?
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay, so this is a very grounded comment.
Yes.
It's not very funny, though. I don't know what to do with it. I thought
that doesn't belong in this episode, because this episode is a laugh riot.
Opening music was cool. But then I thought it was the opening music, but then it popped up like a bunch of other times in the movie as well.
Yeah, that's I guess I would call like an 80s psychedelic band. We should play a little quick drop of that so people know what we're talking about.
Thank you.
So that,
yeah, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's by Tangerine Dream. And it sounds kind of like... Do you know the song Eminence Front by The Who?
I don't. Is it the...
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
And it goes...
That was autistic of me.
It's a poodle!
Are we talking about the same song?
I think so. What you did in the beginning there, because it starts like... It does kind of have that thing where it starts...
Yeah.
Kind of watery synth sound. It sounds a lot like this song. Especially the main part that keeps on playing over and over and over again.
Right, which I heard was made by programming a computer with the proportions of a beautiful woman or something.
What?
Have
Who
you heard
said
that?
This? About this movie?
Yeah, his last name rhymes with Gazelli.
Okay.
The person who told me.
Wait, about this movie?
No, about the... The Who song.
Huh. Okay, I have no idea about that. Yeah, maybe. I have something kind of slightly humorous to say.
Yeah, what is it?
This movie's kind of like Ferris Bueller meets Home Alone.
Oh, it is. It is.
Yep. Because, you know, he like has all the sex workers like slip on ice and throws paint cans at their faces. Step on nails.
Well, it's like an adult Home Alone, except that there is no... bad guy.
There's Guido.
There is Guido, but he's not... He's the most impotent pimp I've seen in any movie.
Ooh, an impotent pimp. That's a good band name.
Yeah, you're right. But yeah, he could have been so much more menacing. I mean, he could have been black, for one thing.
Jesus Christ, what the fuck? No, man.
Like, there's just so many... terrible stereotypes that go along with that.
Did you recognize that dude?
No.
Really? No. That's Joey Pants. So he's in the Matrix. I can't really think of who he is. He's just like, tell Dorothy Kansas is going bye-bye. He's that dude. You know what I'm talking
about? Okay.
And then he's also in Memento. He's a guy that he like says, do not trust that guy. It's like one of the first Polaroids he sees. He's in the Goonies.
Wow.
I don't know. He's done all kinds of shit. But yeah, Joey Pants. Cool. That's his nickname. And he was Guido
Joey
the Pimp.
Joey Pants?
Yeah. I mean, his real name is Joe Pantoliano. But then everyone calls him Joey Pants.
That's funny.
I just looked at the Wikipedia. And it says Joey Pants redirects here.
Oh, what a wonderful name.
Yeah, pretty great. And I didn't even recognize him by his face so much. Because he's got one of those weird faces where he really aged into himself pretty well, because he actually looks kind of older in Risky Business, but I could tell by his voice it was him.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he aged well into his face, and you like how he looks as an aged person.
Love how he looks, I would say. Yeah.
I'm trying to process what you said.
Some people, when they're... I mean, Tom Cruise is one of those kind of people that, you know, looks better as an older dude.
That's true.
Joey
Pants, too. Okay.
I mean, he's not like a good-looking dude or anything. He just like, oh, yeah, that kind of where... I mean, he just looks more like more of a character, I guess. So he definitely looks more like a face you want to put into a movie as an older dude.
Oh, okay. Okay, as opposed to like a blah white dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Guido. Did you recognize any of his friends? Should have recognized one for sure.
Friend, yeah, exactly, was the other friend.
Yeah,
from
exactly.
The last movie we watched, which was... What
Better
movie
Off Dead.
Was that? Yeah.
Not the last movie.
And, oh, that's right. Not the last movie. But those sleuths who already pinned this episode by the... election
by our lack of direction. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's right. This is gonna come out no one knows when, and they'll be like, wow, this thing is in shambles.
Yeah.
It's going downhill. I'm gonna stop listening, and we're just gonna have to remind them that this is we did this floating in space and time.
Yeah, I did this from Antarctica. What do you guys expect?
Exactly. So give us a break.
Okay. So you recognize...
We put this out because we care. And if you don't like it, take a take a look at yourself in the mirror.
And poke yourself in the eye, right?
And poke yourself in the eye, that's right.
What is that even from? Oh my God.
You said it.
I know I said it. I don't even know what I was referencing. Oh man.
I don't know if you were referencing anything.
I know.
Speaking from the heart.
It's probably a good advice, right? If you listen to this podcast, you don't like it, take a look in the mirror and hey, poke yourself in the eye.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway. That's Curtis Armstrong. So that dude's playing Miles.
So it is the same guy. Is he like everybody's best friend in 80s movies?
In like two of them, yeah. In the two we've watched, just two of them? Yeah, just coincidence. Okay. I mean, like, you know, when you start watching these movies, especially dudes, they make appearances throughout all these different things. So if you see a dude in one 80s movie, there's a good chance you're going to see him in lots. Women, not the case.
Why?
Well, sexism probably, right?
Okay.
I mean, yeah, probably. Because like this.
I mean, I'll go with probably, yeah.
Rebecca de Mornay, like who's Lana in this movie? I don't know her from anything else. Even though I think she dated Tom Cruise after this for a bit.
Oh, that's very
sexy, right?
Sexy.
No, not the word you're looking for.
Or no, that's very amateurish.
Amateurish. Oh, yeah. Oh, because like, dating a
date someone
coworker,
A coworker that you have kissed in a movie or seen or something.
That you made love to on a real train?
Right, because they had to do it for real.
Oh, yeah. That was real.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so so you recognize that dude, Curtis Armstrong, who's playing Miles, one of his friends. His other friend, too, is going to be even more recognizable to pretty much everyone listening to this podcast besides you.
Okay, Bernard or Bernie?
Barry.
Barry, that's right.
Yep.
I know there was a B-A-R.
So you can picture that dude's face in your head?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Bronson Pinchot, who is, to most people, Belky. And Belky was this guy from a sitcom. Actually, there's a whole long thing about it. I guess some slight spoilers for The Leftovers. But do you remember The Leftovers? There was this weird thing about how there's a sitcom and...
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah. So what was the whole thing?
In the last season, right?
Well, it was referenced even earlier than that, which I picked up on because I knew the sitcom. It's called Perfect Strangers.
Okay.
And then the dude that's actually in that sitcom was in The Leftovers, but it wasn't Belky. So the whole premise, it doesn't really matter the whole Leftovers thing, but the whole premise of the sitcom is that there is this kind of button-up-ish guy named Larry, and then for some reason, his wacky cousin from Eastern Europe comes to like live with them, and it's all about their hijinks. And so Bronson Pinchot is like doing a broad accent to the point where I thought that he was... actually not American until I was probably an adult. Maybe not adult, but yeah, quite old. I mean, when I see him, I still see Belky.
Okay. Yeah, I see a blank slate.
Okay, good for you.
A guy who could be anyone.
Yeah. So one thing that I was kind of surprised by both the first time I watched it and this time is kind of how... surreal and dreamlike a lot of this movie is.
Is that, are you referencing the part where he is
a lot of it actually.
Talking to his parents and we don't see him and just his parents?
I'm kind of talking about a lot of the movie has like these...
But not that part.
maybe not that part so much. No, I'm talking about just, I don't know, the movie, like, you know, it starts off and it has this like, kind of like slow motion view of the Chicago L train with that synthy, psychedelic kind of music playing.
Right, and this choppy kind of frame rate weird thing going on.
And there were a lot of times where you were like in his dream, but you didn't know you were in the dream until later. To the point where when I thought the first time he had sex with Lana, that actually was a dream until he woke up the next day and had breakfast with her.
Right. I totally thought that was a fantasy.
Yes. Well, because we already had seen from the very first thing we see about this movie is that it is like it was a part of his dream. This anxiety dream slash like sex dream he had where he sees this girl in the shower and then he tries to go to her, but then it's too steamy and he can't get through. And then he's suddenly in this classroom and he's 3 hours too late. And because, you know, he has all this anxiety about going to Princeton. That's his whole goal.
Oh, right. So, yeah, I was confused about that. So this is an extension of the dream he's telling us about?
Yeah. Well, no. What's an extension?
The whole movie.
I don't know if it's an extension, but there's just dreamlike things. So we keep on going into his dreams.
Okay. Okay.
And then,
but so what came of the very first dream he's telling us about? Does he actually tell us that it ended?
So you mean like, was the whole thing not a dream at all, and actually that was just a weird part of his reality that we just go with? Is that what you're asking?
No, maybe. Here's what I remember. I remember he told us about the dream, and he was telling us about the dream, and then he. Oh, then does he say that he wakes up and he's in a classroom?
Yes. But okay, that so wasn't real, actually, though. I don't think he was actually in the classroom.
Oh.
I think that was an anxiety. Because his dream, he's walking to this girl in the shower.
Okay.
Can't get through. And when he does get through, he's not in the shower anymore. He's in a classroom.
In the classroom.
And he's 3 hours late.
Does that dream story ever end? Because I feel like it transition into the movie proper without...
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's why it has this kind of like surreal feeling to it lots of times.
Okay.
And the music too, and just the way things are filmed, like the scene where he has sex with Lana on the train, that's weird.
It's a little weird. I mean, there's lots of music in the background and...
Lots of music. Did you recognize that song?
No. You said Phil Collins, though. I picked up on... that.
Oh, you don't know that song?
No.
Yeah, Coming in the Air Tonight.
I did put down, like, well-known music.
Yeah.
Riley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a few songs I recognize. There's, like, Swamp by the Talking Heads, Old Time Rock and Roll by Bob Seger. You knew that song beforehand, right?
Yes, I didn't know it was by Bob Seger until I looked it up.
Oh, did you recognize the song by your boy? The Boss?
I don't know if I did.
But it's a song that I don't think you'd recognize as Bruce Springsteen if you heard it.
Okay. I probably didn't.
Hungry Heart. Do you know that song?
No.
Yeah. Doesn't really sound like...
Does it go like, I've got a hungry heart.
Here, let's play
it. Doesn't
play,
eat.
Play a drop. Or not.
Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Maybe I recognized it. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. It's too much to bear for one man. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
So, dreamlike stuff. I like that you brought that up because I felt like this movie very much blurred the lines between fantasy and reality.
Would you say they meshed and came together? Became one?
Right.
Well, that's so funny. I woke up thinking about that line today in my head for some reason.
For you guys who are wondering what we're laughing at.
We don't
need
to explain that.
No?
Okay, go ahead.
It's a line from a porno that we discovered on a VHS tape that didn't belong either to Jeff or me. We just discovered it.
No, actually, that did belong to me. So I can tell you the story behind that.
Okay, tell me the story.
So I was...
You're owning it. All right.
I was down... Yeah, okay. So I was downtown, and it was with one of my roommates, who was a girl, and we walked into the adult store downtown in Missoula, and we were like... We had this idea to get a porno and watch it, and... We looked at a bunch of them, and they were all so expensive, and so we're like, oh, let's look at the discount bin. So that was in the discount bin. And nice. The only reason that Ali knows about a porno that I have watched as well, and we've talked about it, and maybe watched parts of it together, is because it's not a porno you can take. It's like a weird comedy porno.
Yeah, it didn't really feel very...
It's not sexy. No. We tried to watch as a sexy thing. It was not. Did not work.
But yeah, it has that line in it about blurring fantasy and reality. And but I was serious about that with this movie.
I mean, you had a great point there that I wanted. Yeah, because there's so many things you're like, well, this is ridiculous. Like when they...
The first sex scene felt ridiculous to me. Like
it is.
This kid who's, you know, supposed to not have had sex before, or at least
Do
that's kind of hinted at. We don't know it, but I mean, it's...
Come on, he's got.
It's kind of implied.
Yeah.
But he just can't be that experienced, you know.
Sure.
But he seemed like he had had all the experience in the world when you watch that that scene. I feel like because it was like passionate, and it seemed like there was the implication that he lasted a long time. I don't know if that's was a the terrible implication.
Was there that implication? Well, it's funny you went there because my mind went to lots of other scenes that are also super kind of fantastical in like different ways. So
okay,
I thought about there's a scene where he takes his dad's Porsche out because the whole premise, by the way, is that his parents are gone. We haven't even talked about this. And so it's all the hijinks he gets into, which aren't even really hijinks. He like, you know, the most famous thing is that he runs a brothel out of his house, which is not a huge part of the movie, really. I mean,
it's not.
It's solidly the third act where that finally kind of starts happening,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
Which I mean, that's the most, if you ask anyone about that movie, they're like, oh yeah, where the guy, you know, his parents go away and he runs a brothel out of his house.
Yeah, right. That's what everybody's going to remember.
Yeah, but then.
And that's probably what I'm going to remember because, but I feel like the first couple of acts were actually more engaging than.
I thought so too.
Yeah, like I kind of saw that as soon as it was hinted at, I'm like, oh, he's going to do this, of course.
Yeah. So you didn't even know that was happening before this?
No.
Wow, okay. But yeah, I was going to say that, you know, the Porsche goes in Lake Michigan, and which is, okay, whatever. The Porsche, like sometimes a car can go in. That was a car he wasn't supposed to have out at all. His dad is like, no, you have the shitty station wagon, the Porsche, you leave that alone.
Right.
But then when he brings it to the shop, just all these fish come out of the car. All this water's pouring, all these fish are flopping around. And then another fantastical scene was just the whole party thing. So the night when he actually was running the brothel, the block was insane. Just I mean, there's no way that that would not have the cops called on them. There's no way the neighbors would be like, wow, this is all right to have in a neighborhood.
Exactly, right? And the Princeton freaking... I don't know.
The interviewer?
Yes.
So the interview's going not super well because he keeps on getting interrupted. And this is during that big party. Being interrupted by girls, being interrupted by guys. You know, people coming in there saying like, hey, we need the room to fuck. And he's like, hold on. I'm doing a Princeton interview right now. But then, I think the guy actually leaves the next day, right? At the interviewer. And he's like, I'll be in touch about your application. Like, winking at him.
Right. Or it's in a voiceover or something that... He said he would be in touch. And then he ends up getting in, which is the super ridiculous part.
Oh, man. Yes.
Because, like the part where he told him, like, you have all this stuff, but it's not quite Princeton material. That made sense. It's like, I can imagine Princeton not having to take like an 84th percentile kid just because his dad is an electrical engineer.
No, that's Tom Cruise. I guess all actors have their dads play them, play their actual careers, famously.
But yeah, I mean, his dad must be loaded though, right? Or
yeah,
not
I mean,
his actual dad.
That's like implied. That's implied a few times. Like Lana's like, ooh, man, how much do you think this house is worth? He's like, I don't know.
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know what they do though, do we?
We also don't know how long they're gone for necessarily, do we?
No, we just know they come back Sunday. So it must be within... I kept assuming it must be within the week, but it also felt like it took forever.
Oh, yeah. It seemed like they're gone for months, right? To like make all the shit they made happen.
Exactly. Like for this amazing story to unfold with like these call girls having to stick around at his house and Guido to be like showing up and... taking his stuff.
Oh, talk about fantastical. So the whole thing where the parents are coming back in two hours and he buys back all the shit from Guido because...
Oh, exactly. And moves it right back in.
Yeah. So, you know, I mentioned the real train thing because as I mentioned at the top of the episode, Ali only has sex on real trains. And Lana keeps on saying that she wants to make love on a real train to Mr. Tom... Joel.
Joel.
Yes. And so he does it. He goes on the L train, just waits till everyone leaves the L train. Which happens eventually. He's kind of like, you know, skeeved out at first. He's like, oh, I don't know. There's lots of people on this train. But then as they go deeper and deeper into the heart of Chicago, there's less people. And they screw on the train. And then while they're doing that, Guido's at his house stealing all the shit. Like all of it. Like even, I don't know, like even like paper and books off the floor, which he then sells back to Joel.
Yes. And
just before his parents get back.
Are we to assume that he just got the car fixed or what?
Yeah, I know, because we see the car coming back. And it was going very slowly at the end. So I was like, well, is the car actually in okay shape? Or
Is he being extra careful? What was the significance of it going super slow?
Maybe that was it, yeah. Because I'm assuming if your car is submerged in that much water for as long as I would imagine it was submerged for, it's probably not going to really make it, right? At least not to the point where, like, you can pass it off as a car that didn't go into the water.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know. But, like, yeah, I mean, the interior has got to be a nightmare to fix.
With all those fish swimming around? Yes.
Right.
I can only imagine. I don't know. I was wondering the same thing, too, because they were obviously in a Porsche dealership afterward.
Right. I mean, I imagined that it would just sort of tell a big lie that he made $40,000 in one night. I guess I buy 8,000 more, but I don't understand how he ended up fixing or getting the Porsche working order.
Especially after he had to give it all back to Guido, apparently.
Right.
Because at the when Guido was like selling him shit, he was running out of money, right? He's like, oh man, I don't even have enough for that. He's like, Guido's like, ah, come on, just 300 more bucks, kid.
Right. And that egg was the first thing that he was missing. That,
because he didn't know that Lana was a sex worker, right? And then she took the egg because he owed her $300. And then there's this, I don't know, what kind of egg?
Oh, I think he knew she was a sex worker. He just
didn't have the
foresight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was
the drag queen.
Right.
Which, to the credit of the 80s, they didn't, like, mock her at all. So that was...
I know, right. Yeah.
I mean, they weren't interested, but that's fine.
Right. It didn't make fun of it at all.
No. I mean, you think it would be something, but there wasn't even one comedic beat about it.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Good job, Risky Business. How
progressive of you.
Yeah, totally.
I have in my notes "boff?" question mark.
Yes,
but then the movie totally answered it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it didn't really answer it in the cultural sense of, like, did people actually say that word?
Sometimes. I think it was before my time.
Okay.
Really, I got hung up on, like, oh my god, that was a girl from Teen. No, wait, that's Boof, because you know, Teen Wolf. There's
right,
Boof.
Right. Right.
But I was like, oh man, was her name Boff?
Right. A lot of folks, at least it was implied that a lot of folks around him, around his economic class, had bonds as well. Now, what are these bonds, and did you have a bond?
I did have some bonds that were for college. It didn't seem like they appreciated very much. Like, I don't know who my parents took out, and I didn't have, like, a whole bunch of them or anything like that.
Okay.
But it's this thing you keep in the bank, and then you cash it, and it's gaining interest, but... it wasn't like a fantastic amount of interest. I think that they cashed one that was like $1,000 and they got like $1,100.
Oh, okay.
By the time I was a college age, they like covered like a semester. maybe a year at the most, but it wasn't much.
Yeah, I think like my parents would take our New Year money. I guess it's like, I don't know if I know either, but
okay.
I was given cash,
like
crispy cash.
Crispy?
Like brand new cash, like cash that hadn't been touched
used
before.
Used cocaine.
Right. By like all the aunts and uncles at New Year's every year. But my parents would take them all away. They would snatch them out of my little fingers and put them in a bank account. And I don't think that ever amounted to anything, or, you know, I don't think I ever got the stuff. Or maybe they bought something with the money for me. It was like...
You got a new car bought for you like 2 weeks ago. So I don't know. How much New Year's money did you get?
Yeah, I don't know if it's possible to like.
You sound like you were robbed. I don't know. Right. That account never saw anything about it again. All I did was pay for 20 years of my life.
I wish I had that money back then when I got it, though, because it was like added up to a lot of money for a kid.
How much money were you getting for New Year's?
Oh, I don't know. Like, it's impossible to like.
Remember
convert
that.
The money from the memory into like how much it actually reliably was in that time's money, and then convert that to like dollars. It's impossible.
It's definitely not impossible. Okay, but I understand if you understand.
But maybe it added up to like $100.
Okay. Thank you.
You know,
there we go.
Yeah.
Not impossible.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for New Year's, that's really common in China too. That's when the people get money is New Year's.
Yeah.
For their New Year's, which I imagine it's like for the New Year, the not like December 31st, right? The actual
New Year for them. Yeah.
Yeah. For you too, right? It's not December 31st, right? It's not.
No,
like,
it's 21st of April.
Oh, so it's constant.
Summer solstice, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not the summer solstice, I'm sorry, the spring equinox.
Yeah. No.
Right. Yes.
April 21st is not the spring equinox, though, so it must be March 21st.
That's it.
Okay. All right. We got there.
One of those, yeah.
But the Chinese one, of course, shifts around. That's actually based on the moon.
Ah, okay. Yeah, no, ours is a solar calendar, so it stays constant.
Okay. I hear that police siren again. That's two, though, so okay. We're not in the Matrix
anymore.
It's
going for a while. Yeah right. So you know what the difference is between an Iranian elementary school and a Taliban terrorist camp?
Oh my fucking god. Is this a joke?
Yeah.
Wait, so you should tell me the joke and then I should tell it afterwards. So you should edit it like I'm the one telling this joke. How would that be?
I don't think it's going to work if you tell the joke.
That's my point. Okay, give me the punchline.
Oh, I don't know. I just fly the drone.
Wow. Oh, okay. So that's a military joke, huh?
It's a joke. It's funny.
Yeah. Really, really funny. Yep.
I thought it was funny. Did you know the punchline?
No. Actually, that would make more sense coming from me, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, but I just didn't want you to look super racist.
I've already done that a few times, I think, so yeah.
yeah, okay.
Yeah, and
I guess it would have made sense. Do you want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it. Just make sure to edit out your version, okay? And we'll go with that. No, I do not want to do it.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. I think I'm at the end of what I want to say about this movie. Do you have anything else you want to throw out there? Oh, I guess we never talked about the fact that all these call girls are having sex with high schoolers, so that's kind of weird.
Right, and there was some super young-looking kids in that party too, right?
There were some pretty young-looking kids, yeah, for sure. And I guess that, like, almost... So the party is made up of friends and then kind of acquaintances that he does this weird, like, business proposition to his sunglasses on. So he's like, sees a guy outside pumping gas, he's like, hey, you look like you want to be a man someday, what do you think?
Right.
He keeps on like talking to this guy. He's like, oh, you're going to Wisconsin? All right. Well, if you want to walk like a man, then I suggest you come this way.
Right. And so did the sunglasses thing, did that ever show up in other movies?
With Tom Cruise? Or
I guess that's a weird question, but like I feel like...
Or it's like a parody.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
As a parody.
Yeah, this isn't a visual medium, but if it was, I would have come out with the sunglasses and been like, hey. And then I would also like have slid out my tidy whities with the pink shirt on and, you know, acted like the fire poker was my dick while I danced around.
Wait, did he do that?
I mean, he kind of like held it up and like, I mean, it was like guitar slash dick, so it was like a Prince thing.
Okay. Wow. Prince did that, huh?
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Whoa.
If I remember right, there's a shadow where the just like his guitar is pointing out like a dick.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, Prince was kind of amazing about those kinds of things.
That's awesome. Good for Prince.
He wrote 500 songs and 10 of them were good. But he still was a legend. I mean, the rest of them weren't bad. This all kind of like, oh, okay, that's just another one of those. Okay. controversial statement. Probably the most controversial thing I've said in this episode.
Okay, I'm gonna keep it in.
Don't keep up the other shit.
How horny was this movie for you, and how male fantasy was this movie for you?
Oh man, okay. So you mean how horny was it for me now as a 40-year-old? Or you mean at the time?
Or I guess how horny of a movie is it in general?
Yeah,
objectively.
I think this movie is horny only in thought, but the actual movie is not very horny itself. I think
a lot of
people kind of like lump it in with, because at the time there's all kinds of horny teen sex comedies like Porky's, Revenge of the Nerds. There's just, you know, it was kind of like, it came out again later, 20 years later. There was like the American Pies and things like that, but the 80s had the same version of that kind of shit, right?
Yeah, and probably with more nudity, is that true?
Probably more nudity and more offensive shit, yep. And more like, lack of consent. I mean, American Pie might have that same kind of issues too, but definitely. Yeah. I don't know, American Pie had lots of nudity, but I think that in the 80s it was just like all nudity. Because a movie that's not even about sex has nudity in it, right? So a movie
right,
that has sex,
it does.
Yes, right. It's going to have lots of nudity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so considering that, you know, we kind of talked about it, but like the whole thing that people know this movie for is actually, I would say maybe like 25% of the total movie.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I agree that it felt like it, I watched like a softcore porn that didn't have any porn in it.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And male fantasy, so much. Oh my God.
Right.
Like,
right.
This movie is considered to be a satire. I don't see anything satirical about it. I kind of take it at face value.
Satire.
Yeah. I mean, people are like, this is one of the most brilliant satires of the 80s. I really don't see it as a satire. Like, I've tried so many times, especially with that. I mean, and it's one of those things. I mean, it seems like you didn't take it that way at all. And, like, I did not think it was even slightly satirical when I was watching it. And then hearing that, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like the movie is all about this dude that's kind of struggling, has an idea, it goes all crazy, but at the end, everything wraps up and he gets everything he could possibly want, including maybe dating Lana.
Right. Exactly. Right. I think that was heavily implied, if not outright explicitly shown.
That they're going to date?
Yeah.
Or she's going to have to pay him to have sex with her now. That was a real implication.
Right.
He's like, what do you got on you? $20? Yeah. Not enough for a night with me, baby. Come on. Time for a voiceover.
Yeah.
The movie does have an alternate ending, though. So the alternate ending... Maybe we should talk about this after the review. Okay, so what do you give the movie?
3 stars.
3 stars. Got it.
Yeah. It felt like everything you just said right now about those two questions I asked, basically because of that, that it felt like a very, very fantastical, yet fun to watch movie.
Oh, okay. Versus
I don't know, anything to do with reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I think it suffers artistically for how fantastical it is. And it just doesn't have anything more than horniness to give us as substance.
And it's not that horny.
And it's not that horny. And it's, I mean, or it's not even that sensual, I guess I would say, because I feel like I watched a movie that wanted to be more naked, but
but it was, but his parents were watching.
Right. Right. I don't know if that counts as a review, but that's what I've got to say.
Hey man, anything goes this episode.
Okay. What do you think?
I had a hard time deciding what to give this movie. So, I think I'm going to land eventually at 3.5 stars because there was a lot of unique things happening here.
Yeah.
I mean, But it also kind of did hurt the movie a little bit, because I think I would have bought the fantastical elements if it was giving me a kind of a more fantastical universe, but then it was kind of giving me the fantastical consequences without...
Right. No, it pretended like it was very much realistic and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. So that just had me, it kind of like made me think that, like, huh, this seems like a, you know, we kind of mentioned this before with other movies, but it kind of seems like a movie that's not just for teenagers, but maybe written by one.
Exactly.
But then the surrealness of it, I did kind of appreciate, although it all at the same time was kind of also boring.
Yeah, right. It wasn't, it didn't push it far enough for it to feel like surrealism. And it, like the sort of backhanded, like, oh, this may all have been a dream. I don't know if that's actually something the movie tried to do, or if it was a misunderstanding that between the two of us.
I don't think it's just a misunderstanding between the two of us. I think it was trying to do that to some extent, but then I'm not quite sure exactly where they're conscious of it too. So that's an issue, right?
If they're not conscious of it?
Yeah, I mean, if they're not conscious of like where that dream feeling is supposed to break off and start again.
Yeah, right. I think I have no idea what you're saying.
Ditto, man. But I guess I do appreciate that this movie, even after having watched it, I just had this like idea of this rowdy teenage comedy, which is not really. And so I kind of appreciate the fact that it's not quite that, although while it has its elements. So I mean, it's not a 4-star experience for me, but it does rise above the 3 stars because it does have it's a unique imprint on whatever on the culture, on cinema, and I got to give it credit for that.
Yeah, okay. After hearing yours, I might, if the roles were reversed, I would have given it 3.5 stars, but I'm going to stick with my 3.
If the roles, also if you heard mine first, you would have given it 3.5?
Maybe, yeah.
Ooh, and if you gave it 5 stars, I would have given it 2, so how do you like those apples?
Balance things out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, whoa there, now I have to average this. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say. Yeah, do you want to keep going with that? So there was actually an alternate ending for this. And in the alternate ending, it was a bit more cynical, because at the end of this, you really got the impression that everything did work out for him. He was kind of cocky about it. And I don't know. Because it was interspliced with him having sex on the train was also... Or not him having sex on the train, but his last dinner with Lana was also at the same time where you see everyone presenting these inventions, because that's part of the thing. He was part of this group that was inventing. They're talking about how much money they made. It was all kind of not very much, like hundreds of dollars.
Right.
And then at the end, he's like, I've specialized in human fulfillment. I made $8,000 in one night. And then what does he say at the very end? Time of your life, kid.
Something
yeah,
like
time
that,
of
yeah.
your life, huh, kid? But then, so they're dining at the same restaurant, but then it pans out, and it's clearly Lake Michigan, and they're dining inside the Hancock Building, which is one of the most famous buildings in Chicago. So it's just kind of implying that they're like, you know, still, I don't know, that he is rich, but then at the same time, he's like, isn't life grand? I don't know, it just seemed more sarcastic and more... kind of more like he learned a lesson than this one. Because in this one, he's just kind of like, okay, this shitty little kid is going to become a shitty monster.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't a shitty little kid. He was the kind of a normal guy, but then he... Yeah.
Right.
But he was a business major.
Exactly. Which is such a, like, you don't become a pimp in business school. Those skills don't carry...
They don't, huh?
No.
You don't think Guido majored in business?
No.
He's like a business guy to me. I don't know. Okay, I don't know much. Yeah.
But so this is a subtle difference in endings, right?
It is quite subtle, but then, I don't know, just the tone, it did kind of, it's weird. I'll send it to you afterwards. Maybe we'll actually put a link to that in this podcast description if we do keep my rambling incoherent bit about how there's another ending. But I don't know. I mean, to me at least, it did kind of have a feeling where it did feel more wrapped up and more fulfilling at the end. So it was subtle, but it worked. And I'm not quite sure why, but it did.
Okay.
Yep.
I buy it.
Yeah. So you can take a little watch and see what you think. And if you don't like it,
all right,
you know what you can do?
Poke myself in the eye.
This is going to be our new thing.
Yeah, just like the Buy Joe Promise.
Well, you tried to make that a thing for like two episodes, and I was like, all right, that's way too weird and random. Well, okay. Thanks everyone for listening. This is your captain. Wait, I'm not going to go...
Captain speaking?
Yeah, why not, right?
It's the untethered episode.
Yes, I mean, just like Risky Business, we are blending fantasy and reality. Just like Risky Business and another really good movie.
Right. Really good movie. I don't remember the name of it. Do you remember? Did it have a name?
Rockin' the Boat.
Oh, that's right. It was called Rockin' the Boat.
Yeah, because he was rapping throughout the whole thing. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that. But that sounds amazing.
That's the only part to remember is that he's, the porn actor's rapping. And then there's a song that says, "Don't rock the boat." We shouldn't leave in things about a porn movie. That's next level. All right. Don't worry about reviewing us this time. Don't worry about giving us any money this time. Just tune in next week, all right? That's all we're asking
right.
for. See y'all later. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone who listened.
Bye-bye.
Bye.